Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, upgrading windows to help curb appeal and keep homes efficient. More at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, May 13th. I'm Jonathan Aull. St. Louis Mayor Tishara Jones' loss last month was not only a blow for the city's progressive political faction, but for black female political power.
So I just think we're in a society that does not recognize the strength and leadership skills that black women have.
Coming up on The Gateway, St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports on what this political shift means for the St. Louis region. A St. Louis man who died in the custody of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement never got a mental health evaluation. St. Louis Public Radio reporting uncovered that Brian Garzon Rayo died by suicide last month after being detained at the Phelps County Jail. ICE released a death report that confirms Garzon Rayo was detained by ICE in March. St. Louis police arrested him for a misdemeanor crime, and he was transferred to the Phelps County Jail. According to the report, jail staff found him unresponsive in his cell and attempted to resuscitate him. He was transferred to Phelps Health Hospital and then Mercy South Hospital in St. Louis County, where he was pronounced dead on April 8th. The Missouri legislature sent the Crown Act, a long-awaited piece of legislation banning discrimination against natural hairstyles, to the governor's desk yesterday. St. Louis Public Radio's Evie Lewis reports on why many Democrats weren't happy with the other parts of the bill.
Some House Democrats did not vote for the bill because it also contains language banning institutions of higher education from taking action against a student group based on its political, ideological, or religious beliefs. Opponents of that provision say it would entitle student groups to school resources even if their beliefs are actively discriminatory. St. Louis Democrat Lakeisha Bosley wishes the Crown Act could have passed without the student group language attached.
I hate that we have to couple something that is so powerful for many children across this state with something that could be extremely detrimental to scholars in our public education institutions.
The bill now heads to the governor's desk. In Jefferson City, I'm Evie Lewis, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri House yesterday voted unanimously to pass a bill that would expand testing for radioactive waste in the St. Louis area. The bill now goes to the governor's desk. Currently, requests for investigation of potential radioactive contamination can only be submitted by local governments. Under the bill, those requests could also be submitted by individuals or community groups. The bill also eliminates a $150,000 cap on investigation expenses and says that the state will seek reimbursement for investigation costs from the federal government. Both Democrats and Republicans spoke in favor of the bill before its passage. Conditions at a Missouri prison in the summer violate the constitutional rights of people who live there. That's the allegation in a lawsuit filed yesterday against the State Department of Corrections. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman has more.
About 1,000 inmates live at the minimum security Algoa Correctional Center in Jefferson City. Its housing units were built in the 1930s and have no air conditioning. In addition, the prison is at the top of a hill with very little shade. Shubra Ori is the senior counsel at MacArthur Justice Center, which filed the suit.
Most people there are on their way home, and it's horrible and it's cruel that they might suffer incredible injury or even death before they get the chance to do that.
The suit focuses on inmates who have underlying health conditions or have been in solitary confinement. It asks a judge to force the DOC to develop a plan to keep the buildings between 65 and 85 degrees. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
The DOC did not comment on the lawsuit. Democratic Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul is offering diversity, equity, and inclusion advice to businesses, nonprofits, and educators. Raoul joined attorneys general from other blue states yesterday. They're releasing guidance on maintaining DEI programs in the wake of ongoing threats from President Donald Trump's administration. Raoul encourages noncompliance.
If you capitulate to an unfounded criticism of your policies, this is an administration that won't stop at its first request. It will keep on coming at you because you've demonstrated vulnerability to unfounded threats.
Raoul was among 19 attorneys general who filed suit last month to stop the U.S. Department of Education from withholding federal money over accessibility programs in schools. Two bills that would require Metro East high schools to change their mascots have stalled in the Illinois Senate. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports local opponents are claiming victory, but the bills aren't quite dead yet.
If passed, the first bill would phase out Native American mascots, logos, and names. The second would not allow mascots that reference disabilities, and all 12 Metro East high schools could be forced to change. While both of these bills passed the Illinois House, they didn't make it out of their Senate committee by last Friday's deadline. Local opponents are hoping the twin legislative proposals stay put. An extension has already been requested for the bill that would require Freeburg High to change its Midgets mascot. An extension has not been requested for the Indigenous Mascots Bill. But state lawmakers could also add these bills as amendments to other legislative proposals, put them in an omnibus package, or address them during the fall veto session. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Mayor Tishara Jones' loss last month was not only a blow for the city's progressive political faction, but also for black female political power. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, both Jones and her supporters are reflecting over what this political shift means for the region.
Inside the Omega Center in North St. Louis, Jones is wrapping up a concession speech in her unsuccessful bid for a second term. And after ticking off what she felt were her accomplishments during her 4 years in office, Jones provided a commitment to inspiring women and girls from marginalized communities.
I may not have been successful this evening, but I'm confident that soon one of you will be able to take my place.
But John Bowman has a more pessimistic reaction to the future of black political female leadership in St. Louis. The former state lawmaker and head of the St. Louis County NAACP says Jones's nearly 30-point loss to Kara Spencer showed how difficult it was for black women to succeed in politics.
So I just think we're in a society that does not recognize the strength and leadership skills that black women have.
Jones's defeat capped off a stormy couple of years for black female leaders in the region. In 2023, St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner resigned amid turmoil over how she ran her office. Last year, Congresswoman Cori Bush lost an expensive and bitter Democratic primary to Wesley Bell. Bush did not follow up on requests for an interview for this story. And at the same time as Jones's defeat, Darlene Green lost her re-election bid for comptroller to Donna Behringer. That ensured there would be no black representation on the Board of Estimate and Apportionment for the first time in decades. State Representative Marty Murray of St. Louis says Jones's loss is demoralizing for progressives and supporters of black female political power.
I do feel like there's a fracturing, and we feel that at the national level, and I think we see it at the local level as well.
Bush, Jones, and Gardner all won their elections thanks to strong support among white progressives and African Americans. Bush and Jones did considerably worse with white voters this time around compared to their prior electoral bids. Bush lost numerous black majority townships in St. Louis County, while Jones underperformed in heavily African American North St. Louis compared to 2021. Jones summed up why she felt her support sunk among black voters in a recent interview.
I announced, and I still believe this, that we have to rebuild North St. Louis in order for all of St. Louis to succeed, but there's no patience there. The expectations there are so high to deliver and deliver immediately to address the decades of neglect in 4 years, which is impossible.
Spencer noted that this year she made a concerted effort to court black voters, and she's hoping to deliver tangible policy wins for them.
Hopefully we can really build from to better serve our North City communities, which is in such, you know, we all know is in such bad need of investment and support.
Resolution 306, honoring Alderwoman Kara Spencer.
On the day before Spencer took the oath of office as mayor, members of the Board of Aldermen lavished praise on the now former 8th Ward Alderwoman. And that included several black alderwomen like Sharon Tyus of the 12th Ward.
Because I think you're going to show the city that you represent the city, the entire city, not the progressives, not the blacks, not the whites, not the conservatives, all corners of the city.
11th Ward Alderwoman Laura Keyes says she wants to work with Spencer on bolstering city services.
And my allegiance is to the people of the city of this of St. Louis and the people of the 11th Ward.
Jones is planning her first break from elected office in more than two decades. Asked if she knew anybody who could fill the void from her defeat, Jones replied simply, no. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our friend Ehrlich edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.